Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott. This is a one-hour interactive talk show. We'll talk college recruiting, athletic scholarships, and much more. Here's your host, M.H. Scott.
Hey, welcome to another Parents Coaching Parents Network show. I am your host, M.H. Scott. And folks, this afternoon, hey, I know I said it from time to time, I got that show that's going to make you want to say, that show that's going to make you want to get out there and just want to take some very good notes, that show that just turns everything over and opens up some doors for you as far as your child being involved in sports. I've said all of that, but guess what? I'm going to say it again today. I'm going to say it today because of the simple fact that I know I have the show today that's going to make you want to say, I didn't think about that. Or, wow, that's what I need to do. Or, hey, son, daughter, whoever, or just share the information any way you want to put it out there. But this show today should be truly an eye-opener for you. So I'm going to give you a second or so. I'm going to let you go ahead and get your notepad, your pens, your papers, whatever you need there. Or just start sharing with about 10, 15, 20 of your friends. Because once we start digging into this show and you miss some stuff here, you're going to have to catch it on the replay. But if you want to chime in on this conversation, you can always reach us at 516-453-9932. Yes, I did say 516-453-9932. Because today we're going to talk about something that is vitally important to every athlete on this planet. Injury prevention. And some of the things that he or she can do to avoid those nagging injuries. This is something that we just can't let go. Because when I said I got that conversation, if you don't believe that this is the conversation, this is the end-all, be-all conversation of all conversations, then I think you truly miss. You truly miss what I just said. So I'm going to say it again. We're going to talk about injury prevention. Now, if you have an athlete out there and he or she is involved, heavily involved in sports, and they haven't experienced an injury, let me tell you from a very firsthand experience as a dad, the very first time my son tweaked his ankle, just rolled it just a little bit, not to no major sprain or anything like that, high ankle sprain or anything of that nature. Just the fact of him just rolling that ankle just a little bit. That was an experience for him for the very first time as a high school senior. Yes, I did say as a high school senior, that was the first time he had ever rolled his ankle. Or tweaked his ankle to the point of, oh, man, he thought he was in the worst pain ever. He thought that the world had came to an end. Oh, you should have seen the look on his face. I had never seen that look before. I could laugh about it now because even he probably would laugh about it. But it was one of those things. And I'm sitting on the other side of the gym. And, you know, of course, first thing I yell out, don't take off that shoe. But, hey, I may be wrong. But we're going to find out today. But, you know, like I said, we're going to talk about injury prevention. But before we go into this show, you know, I got to give my man, Mr. Keith Wright, some props. Keith got this little piece he put together for me called The College Experience. Where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, let them hate then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
All right, folks, we're back, we're back. You know my man, Mr. Keith Wright, said what? He's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. You know, each and every time I hear that statement just sends like a little chill through me, you know, because that's what I try to do with parents that listens to this podcast each and every week. I try to make them smart so they know that it's cool. It's a cool thing that they got going on because they smart. They smart in what? They smart in understanding what their child is going through, being involved in sports, or should I say the sports industry. Because I want to stretch that out just a little bit more and say the sports industry. Because from time to time, we may throw some things out there that, hey, may also just include just the industry itself, not just the activity of playing the game. But today, we're going to bring in our special guest coming in. You know what, folks? I don't even know where she's coming in from. But this is Dr. Remy, and Dr. Remy is going to join us today and just share some information on the lines of injury prevention. But first, I'd like to have her introduce herself so we all know where she's coming in from. Hey, Dr. Remy, welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Hey, we're excited to have you. We're excited to have you. We heard about you. We've seen you in action when you was on with Baller Mom Canada. And we said, hey, no, we got to bring on the Parents Coach Parents Network. We got to hear about this on this side of the world, or at least in this Mid-Atlantic region where the Parents Coach Parents Network is the number one sports parents talk show.
Well, I'm happy to say this is my first international podcast, so I feel like I've made it.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, we're glad to be the first, but by all means, please share some more information with us about you and how long have you been in the business of injury prevention?
Yes, so I am a chiropractor and an acupuncturist by trade, and I've been doing that now for about 14 years, just outside of Toronto, Canada. And over the course of that time, I've had a real pleasure, I guess, of working with all types of athletes, from amateur to professional to Olympic athletes. I've had a really diverse history with athletes. But the biggest part of my job is, yes, I want athletes to heal, but it's really all about preventing injury. That's what I speak about. That's what I write about. I lecture about. It really comes down to prevention. If we can make our athletes stronger preseason, let's do that. And that's really my goal.
You know, that can't be said enough. You know, my son is a professional basketball player. My youngest son, he's just an all-around athlete. He's constantly in the gym doing something. My daughter, she's out running in the military. But they're all athletes at heart. And I tell them, I say, hey, you know, there are certain things that you got to do before, during, and after. There's things that you need to do just to maintain that body that you want to maintain, you know. And it's not all about, okay, I just get up and I throw my shoes on and I take off and I start running. No, you got to think about a few other things. You got to think about injury. You got to think about preventing those injuries. What do you need to do in order to get your mind prepared to prevent an injury? Or, you know, just simply making sure that your body is in the right shape to prevent. Let's start talking a little bit about stretching and what can you tell us about stretching? Is that really as important as they claim it is?
Yes. I cannot say that enough. But the thing about stretching is really understanding the goal of stretching, because not all stretching is created equally. So if I know I am performing today, okay, I've got my sport or an activity today, I need to stretch beforehand. But that stretching is going to look different than what you do after activity. So beforehand, you're looking at warming up. So stretching that I recommend to do before an activity is what is called dynamic stretching. So that's stretching where you're not holding stretches for long periods of time. You're moving in and out of the stretch. So you're doing stretches that will mimic whatever activity it is, whether you're running, playing basketball, volleyball, whatever the case is. You want to do exercises that are preparing your body for activity. So when you're doing pre-activity stretching or dynamic stretching, you're actually like working up a little bit of a sweat, okay? You're trying to warm up. Whereas when we're stretching after activity, that's when we're looking to lengthen muscles. We're looking to cool down our body. So that's when we do what's called static stretching. So those are the stretches that you do where you're holding it for 20 to 30 seconds. And what you're doing is you're helping get rid of any lactic acid or any like toxins and stuff that build up in our body after we've done a heavy activity. We want to release that. We want to encourage the body to cool down. So that's when it's really important to do longer held stretches.
Dr. Remy? Hello? Oh, what happened? Call drop. Okay, what's going on here? We seem to have had a little glitch here. We seem to have dropped the call. I guess this international thing is a bit much. Let's see if we can...
I swear I didn't do anything, I swear.
Okay. I got a little nervous there.
No,
yes,
I just,
ma'am.
Yeah,
go
I
ahead.
Just stopped hearing you. Okay. So as I was saying, static stretching you want to do before an activity, dynamic stretching you want to do before an activity, warm the body up. Static stretching after an activity, cool the body down. So stretching is important, but it's equally important to know what type you need to do and when you need to do it.
So you said something a second ago that, you know, I don't think many athletes realize this, and I know parents don't really push the issue, but you said actually when you are warming up, you should actually break a sweat.
Mm-hmm.
Did I hear that correctly?
You certainly did. Before an activity, and I'm not talking about, you know, you're huffing and puffing, but you want to be on that verge of, yeah, you're about to sweat. Your body is warm. You need circulation into your body. The muscles need oxygen. They need blood flow, red blood cells, all that kind of stuff. And the only way they're going to do that is by warming up. So you want to be almost on that verge of breaking a sweat, because you can't. Muscles don't, they need a little bit of a time to turn on, okay? And so you don't want them to turn on while you're playing. You want them to turn on just before you're about to perform. So, yes, when you warm up effectively, you should be, your heart should be going a little bit, and, yeah, you should be on the verge of sweating.
Wow. You know, and I've tried to stress that point several times with my very own children, and they seem to like disconnect when they hear me say that. Hey, you know, you didn't stretch good enough. You didn't even break a sweat. They say, well, I'll break a sweat during the game. No, you need to break a sweat now. That means that muscle is ready to perform. So I'm glad you really emphasize that point and stress that again, you know, because that is so vitally important for our athletes to understand. Parents, we need to make sure our kids understand that. And the way we make sure that they understand that, hey, get them out there yourself one day and stretch with them. And when you start to break a sweat and they break a sweat, then you know, hey, this is all good. Let's go ahead and get things started. So when we talk about... as we're talking about this part and we're talking about, you know, just breaking the sweat, you know, and you talked about the different types of stretching and so on and so forth. You know, one thing that really comes to mind for me is the joints. You know, those are parts on me as an older man. They don't quite move the way they used to sometimes, you know, and I may need to stretch a little bit longer than everybody else. But tell us some things that we can do as far as our joints are concerned. And I really want, if you can, stress or put some emphasis on, because I noticed, like, in my family, all of my children are tall. You know, I'm the shortest one. I'm the shortest male at 6'3". My baby boy is about 6'4", close to 6'5", and my oldest, he's pushing up on 6'8". So, you know, our joints do something slightly different sometimes because, first of all, they're being pulled laterally. Then, when we call ourselves trying to stretch, now we're trying to pull them horizontally and. And sometimes that just don't work out for us. So give us some information on working with those joints to help prevent those injuries with those joints, please.
Yeah, so joints are obviously important to our body's ability to function, and they have a lot of goals or a lot of things that they help us with. But two things I want to emphasize is joints are important as shock absorption. Okay, for shock absorption. So running, jumping, any quick movements, our joints act as cushions, okay? And over time, wear and tear happens, and those cushions almost become deflated. And so that's going to lead to things like, yeah, you know, I feel a little achy when I'm going upstairs or things like that. So shock absorption is really important. And the other thing that our joints are going to do in order to allow us to perform is help with flexibility. So, you know, training for shock absorption, training for flexibility is important, both preseason, off-season, during the season. We have to make sure we're addressing that. So shock absorption, even before we get to stretching and things like that, the footwear that we wear, right? That's equally important too, because footwear plays a key role in our spine's ability, and not just our spine, our ankles, knees, hips, their ability to absorb the pressures from jumping, running, and so forth. So even the equipment that we use sometimes is important to help our joints perform the way they're supposed to perform. And then we get back to the stretching, because when you stretch, okay, particularly, like I said, when you're doing that dynamic stretching, it's like you're getting blood flow into those joints. Those joints, as I said, have a cushion, okay? That cushion has a lot of water in it, okay? So how do we maintain that water? Movement, blood flow, circulation. So if we're not warmed up properly, those joint spaces are not going to have, or the cushions in those joint spaces are not going to have that ability to help us with shock absorption or help us with flexibility. Okay, so shock absorption, flexibility, those are important. And not just in the warm-ups and the things that we do, but even when you're training. When you're training, it's important to include flexibility into your training, right? Years ago, I used to hear stories about football players like taking ballet classes and things like that. And a lot of it has to do with flexibility, right? A lot of it has to do with flexibility, right? Because flexibility is key for our body in helping us deal with uneven surfaces, helping us deal, you know, with sometimes those quick lateral movements. So our joints really need to be trained in flexibility as well. So yes, we want strength, we want power, we want agility. Yeah, that's important. But flexibility is key as well. And it doesn't have to be ballet classes. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can do now. But really start that when we're dealing with kids. We've got to start that young. Because one thing I will say, and I see this every day in my practice, is I'll get patients, you know, who are now parents, you know, coming in 30s, 40s, 50s, and they're coming to me with issues that are stemming from injuries that they had when they were playing sport, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And that's because they weren't necessarily training properly. Or the other thing, and maybe we'll talk about that a little bit too, is when they were injured, they didn't let the injury heal properly. And I think that's a very tricky thing. And I might be going off topic here, but that's a really important thing when we're talking about joints, okay? A lot of times, you know, for example, we're talking about ankle sprains. Yes, ankle sprains happen, pain goes away. Just because the pain goes away does not mean that that joint is working 100%, okay? We have to look at that joint's ability for shock absorption. We have to look at the range of motion of that joint. Is it the same as the other side? Or hopefully it shouldn't be any less than the other side, the non-injured side, okay? And then we also have to look at stability. So those three things might not have anything to do with pain, but if their joint is not flexible, if it's not going to help with shock absorption, if it's not able to stabilize, eventually either the injury is going to happen again or it's going to lead to other injuries. So joint health is very, very important. And that's why I also think it's important when we have our young athletes is you want to build a team around those athletes. And that might include having a chiropractor, physiotherapist, massage therapist, some type of health professional in your team, because you will need them to help you discern whether or not your child is actually healed. Okay, because pain alone is not an indicator. I cannot stress that enough. Pain alone is not an indicator that your child is ready to be back at a competitive level.
Sorry, you know, that is, and you know, you are so true with that, because my oldest son went through a situation where he rolled his ankle. And, you know, initially, it was a high ankle sprain. They put him on crutches. They didn't put him in a boot right away, but they put him on crutches and did one of those, I guess they call soft cast or soft wrap or whatever it was, where they limited the mobility of it. But after he thought the pain had went away, he thought that his foot was okay. So next thing you know, I'm looking at the crutches. They're still leaning up in the corner at the house, and he done took off, and he's on his way down the street with his friends on their way to the mall. Okay, I know no one's going to push him around in a wheelchair at the mall, so he's going to be up walking around on that foot at the mall. And I said, son, you can't do that. Just because the pain, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're totally healed. You know, I said, you know, check your flexibility. See if you can rotate your foot this way and that way and all these other different ways like you can do the, because it was on the right ankle. See if you can do the left ankle one way and do the right ankle the same way. And if you feel any discomfort there, then you know you're not healed yet. So you need to get back on those crutches. Eventually, they ended up putting them in a one of those boots. And took him off the crutches, but put him in the boot to totally stop the mobility, you know, him trying to move too much, and it recovered a little bit faster. But, you know, he had to learn the hard way, and that's just what happened. You know, so I understand that part as far as when the pain is gone, that doesn't necessarily mean that the injury is gone. You know,
kids, too, is they heal so quickly. Like kids will a lot of times their ankle sprains will heal in half the time that of an adult. So, you know, we may not take it seriously because their pain doesn't last for very long. But that, again, doesn't mean that they're healed.
Yes, that's you're so true. You know, and you talked about the ballet piece and how we thought that was such a you know, comical thing at one point in time when we heard about football players taking, you know, ballet and all these other different things. You know, nowadays, today's athletes may venture into various things. I've noticed that, you know, my son, who is currently still playing professional basketball, every now and then he'll do a full soccer workout just to work on his lower joints, to work on his knees and his ankles and, you know, the footwork, so on and so forth, and the agility that comes along with the soccer workout. Not like, okay. At first, when I first seen it, I thought it was kind of odd. But then, hey, I realized it helped him. Helped him, you know, prevent some injuries and strengthen some muscles and joints that, you know, normally didn't get that workout during the season.
Yeah, but, because if you're playing one sport all year round, you're using the same muscles all year round. So, yes, you want to train for your sport, but there's always circumstances within your sport that are going to require the use of other muscles and other positions. And so, yeah, you want that flexibility. So it's so imperative to make sure that you're training in other forms as well.
You know, when we talk about these unorthodox things, and I don't look at them as being unorthodox. I look at it as just being part of a workout. You know, I was always taught that the pool is a good place for, you know, doing a lot of joint work, especially when we're talking about from the waist down. Did you have anything that you can add to that and give us some insight on working out in the pool? I noticed Muhammad Ali used to do it when he was working on his boxing skills, but that's a whole nother story.
Well, yeah, no, pool training and aquatherapy and all that stuff is important. I mean, if you have access to it, I think it's something to take advantage of. Because what the pool does is it limits the amount of pressure going through your joints. So when you're training for an activity, training for a sport, you don't want to overtrain. Right? You don't want to kind of, you know, do excessive work that's going to eventually cause your joints or muscles to decrease in function. So by taking some of that training and putting it in the pool, what you're doing is you're just decreasing the amount of pressure and compression in the joints. So you're still able to utilize muscle. There's still resistance because you're working in a pool. But you're going to put less pressure on the joints, which can be beneficial for your training. The other reason why I love the pool, too, is if you are injured, the pool can be a great way for you to maintain the flexibility, maintain the training, the resistance training and all that stuff, again, by minimizing the pressure on the joints. So before you return to sports or to your activity, you know, being able to train in the pool is going to be a quick way for you or a way to kind of help you with a quicker recovery because you'll be able to do more in there than you are on land.
And that by itself, folks, I'm telling you, is worth its weight in gold. It's worth its weight in gold. I did some plyometrics in the pool one time before, and I thought I had been in the weight room for like 3 or 4 hours because my body was really worn down. It was really worn down, but it was a different type of worn down. You know, you know, I got the resistance, but it wasn't no heavy pressure, no heavy weight and all this old kind of stuff. But, hey, it was great, even for me as an old man. So some of you old parents out there, or some of you parents out there that need to get out there and get some of that work in, go to the pool. You know, go to not the kiddie pool. Go to the pool where you can get in at least at the waist level, at least at the waist level. You know,
there are community centers now that have therapy pools that people can use that are specific for like exercising and training. So if you have access to a therapy pool, it's perfect. And it's also a little bit warmer too, which is always nice.
Therapy pool, folks, geriatric pool, you know, for us, it's all the same thing. You know, if it's called a therapy pool, go ahead and get in it. If it's called a geriatric pool, go ahead and get in it. As long as nobody's in there and didn't put their diaper on the right way, we'll be all right. You know, but as I think about all that, I started telling you about my two children and their size on them, and they went through some terrible things and they're growing. But I also have a young man that I worked with a few years ago that he wasn't really tall, but he developed muscle at a very early age, and he started experiencing some serious pain right around his knees because that muscle was it was developing, you know, his thighs and his calves and you know, all that was developing so fast, you know, he started experiencing some pain, and we used to have to make sure that before he got out there and ran, he was really, really, really stretched out and we would rub them down, and, you know, we would use the ointments and, you know, all these other little things that try to get him loosened up before he got out there, because he was going through serious pain. So is there anything in dealing with growth, stretching, or anything along those lines that you can share with us today, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, growing pains is common. And like you said, it doesn't necessarily happen in kids that are very tall. It happens in kids, girls, boys, anyone that's growing, it can happen too. And the reason why it happens is when we're growing, our muscles are growing and our bones are growing, but they don't always grow at the same time. So that kind of discrepancy can lead to pain. Knees are probably the most common spot where this happens, and you may have heard of a common condition called Osgood-Schlatter's disease, which is very common in young males, usually between the ages of 11 and 14, I believe. And that's what it is. It's the muscles around the knee are sometimes growing quicker than the bones, or vice versa. And so as you mentioned, stretching the muscles and the ligaments around the joints is very, very important. And it's important on days that, you know, you might be doing a sport, but also on days that you're not doing a sport. You're taking the time to stretch because, you know, our bodies are growing, or at that time, they're growing 24/7. So stretching on a daily basis is important. The other thing to look for, any signs of inflammation, because that can happen around the joint too. If that happens, rest and ice, right? You want to make sure that we're dealing with the inflammation around the joint. So icing is really important. And then if you've tried stretching, you've tried icing, and your son or daughter is still having some pain, or the kids that you work with, then you might want to look at seeing a health practitioner for professional massage, sports massage, or seeing, like I said, a chiropractor, physio, just to kind of help with pain management. But it is quite common. You want to make sure that you're looking out for any signs of swelling, because that's an important thing, because you definitely don't want your child playing sport if there is swelling around that joint. So that's key when we're dealing with growth spurts and growing pains.
Awesome. Yeah, because that young man, he went through some stuff, and it took us a while just to get a good grip on, you know, making sure that we treat him beforehand. And it took us a while to even notice it, because, you know, he would experience the pain, but at the same time, you know, he didn't want to come out and say, hey, you know, my legs hurt, or my, you know, he thought that, you know, we thought that, oh, okay, you got a case of the butterflies, you're getting a little nervous because you're going out there and you're in the state meet, or you at the regional meet, or you're at the national meet. And then we finally realized that, okay, no, this is real. This is real with him. And the very same thing happened with my son. You know, during his going upward, he started experiencing some of that same pain. But I was able to keep him active. You know, he ran track. He, you know, did a few other things. So he constantly kept those muscles stretched out. So his pain wasn't as severe, you know, as growing pains as most folks. And he went through a growth spurt that was unreal. I'm talking about, I don't know if you ever heard anything like this before, Doc. He went from 8th grade at 5'10 to midway through the 10th grade, right about 6'6".
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So you're talking about 7 or 8 inches in a 2-year time period. And, you know, I say it jokingly, but I'm telling you, at the time the boys was wearing and their pants sagged a little bit, so I couldn't tell that he would have been wearing high waters. Because of the simple fact that I couldn't keep up. You know, I buy a pair of pants, and next thing you know, I look at them again. They look like they up getting close to that ankle again. And as time went on, I was like, oh, my goodness.
But, yeah, well, it's important to recognize these spurts, because if you notice that, then yeah, be prepared that there will be some pain around some of the joints for sure.
Yes, definitely. And I see that we have a caller on here. I'm not sure if this caller has a question for you today, but we're going to bring this caller up. Area code 615. Welcome to the Parents Coach and Parents Network. Area code 615. I'm not sure if your phone is muted or I didn't mute you, so I see your microphone is lit up. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Parents Coach and Parents Network. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's going on there, but we'll go straight into the next question there, Doc, if you don't mind. Let's talk about footwear. Because I know you do a special thing with footwear. I've seen several of your videos talking about footwear, so you're gonna have to do this on the microphone because we can't see the visual. So you got to lay it out for us. Tell us about some footwear.
Right, footwear is very, very important. I mean, our feet are where our base of support comes from. So having the right footwear is important for not just performance, but for injury prevention as well. And the first thing I always talk to parents about is kind of understanding fit for your kids, okay? And one of the biggest tips I can give anybody listening today, and this is not just for kids, but for you as well, if you are looking at buying shoes, one of the things that's going to be key in finding the right fit is purchasing shoes or measuring your feet towards the end of the day. Our feet actually swell over the day. So our actual size in the morning is not going to be the same size as it might be come dinner time. So especially for kids, if you're buying footwear for sport, do so towards the end of the day so you actually get a better fit for your kids. Okay, so that's the number one thing when we're talking about footwear is fit.
Wow, I've never heard that before. I've never heard that before, and thank you for sharing that because I never really realized that, of course our feet does swell, but I didn't realize, what time of day and how that all works, so on and so forth. I may have messed up several pair of shoes just trying to get my foot into a pair that later on that day, they ain't fit no more. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'll get carried away. No. Go ahead.
No, but you're absolutely right. And you bring me to another point is, this whole concept of breaking in shoes. That's actually a myth. You shouldn't have to break in footwear, particularly footwear that you're going to be using that you need to support you in a sport. Shoes should feel comfortable from the moment you put it on. So for parents, one thing I will say is for running shoes and some sport performance shoes, the shoes will have like a little insert inside that you can take out. If they do, what I would say is take that out, okay, and then have your child step into it with their socks on, okay? Their feet obviously shouldn't be like overhanging the insert either at the front or at the sides. If they are, that's not going to be a comfortable shoe. There's no amount of breaking in that's going to make that shoe comfortable. And the question or comment that I get from a lot of parents is, I don't want to spend money buying a lot of shoes because my kid's foot grows a lot. And I totally understand that. But at the same time, you don't want a shoe that's too big because you're going to lose a lot of stability. So what I always say is if you're standing in that insert, okay, if you look at the longest toe and the top of that insert, it should be no more than maybe the width of your index fingernail, okay?
Say that one more time for us. Give me that one more time.
Right. So again, take the insert out of the shoe, have your child step into it, and then you want to look at the longest toe on the foot and the top of the insert. It should not be more than the width of your index fingernail, okay? So you put your finger down, and that's the amount of space. It should not be more than the width of that fingernail, because if it is, there's going to be too much movement in that shoe, and it's not going to do what it's supposed to do, okay? So those are the best tips I can give for fit.
Well, when you're talking about fit, you know how we parents sometimes, we think we got the magic trick on how to fit a pair of shoes. So, we'll be squeezing on the side, we'll be pressing on the toe, trying to find where the big toe is at and, all these other little things. So there is a actual way we should be checking these shoes to make sure that they fit properly. That's what you're telling me right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I understand not all shoes, especially like cleats, not all shoes are going to have the insert. So, okay, if the insert isn't available, your child could put their foot into the shoe. And the same thing, find the longest toe, because sometimes the big toe is not the longest toe. So you want to make sure you know which, because that's important for fit. So... know what the longest toe is, and then the same thing. If you push down, it should not be more than the width of your index fingernail. Not your thumb, your index fingernail, okay? So longest toe, no more than an index fingernail width away from the top of the shoe. But, yeah, shoes, there's no breaking in. Shoes need to be comfortable from the moment you put them on. That's really, really important. And then, yeah, squeezing and all that kind of stuff. The only time I recommend squeezing, again, this comes down to if your child is playing a sport that requires, like, cleats, is cleats are going to be sturdy, right? Because it's just soccer, baseball, football, a lot of quick movements, so you want something sturdy.
Yes.
And what you'll find is, like, the arch, the heel, those are going to be quite sturdy. There's not going to be a lot of movement. But where you need movement is under like the toes, right? So if you take the front of that shoe, you should be able to flex the toe part. Because if you're not able to flex the toe part, how is that child going to push off, toe off, run, right? Jump. It's going to be impossible because your toes need to bend. So in any footwear, any running shoe really, for most sports, you want to make sure that there is flexibility under the toes. So if you bend that area, that should bend. Whereas if I take a running shoe, I always do this test, the fold and half test. For any sport, I'm trying to think of a sport where I don't want this, but for most sports, we shouldn't be able to bend the entire shoe in half. If you can bend the entire shoe in half, there's not enough stability. Only bending at the toe, that's where you want the flexibility, not in the middle of the shoe, only at the toe. I hope that makes sense.
You know, they're selling that as the new lightweight shoe that you can just fold in half and put into your suitcase. You can just fold your shoes. So, in other words, you're telling me that the shoe, if it's going to provide proper support for your feet, should not be able to fold completely in half?
Right. There is a whole lightweight barefoot kind of movement, and I understand that movement. I don't recommend that for children. I think children right now, the focus needs to be on support, and I especially don't support it when we're talking about sports, like high-impact sports that require a lot of movement on uneven surfaces and jumping and lateral movements and things like that. We need the support. Barefoot science for adults, or for sometimes even like runners, marathon runners, that's a whole different story. But if we're talking about kids, stability is important. Stability is really, really important. So no, the footwear should not bend in half.
Folks, we've been talking to Dr. Remy, and she's been laying it down for us. She's been dropping dimes. She's been hitting us with all kinds of assists and everything else that you can possibly think of a sports-related term to say what she's been doing for us here today, here on the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Oh, man, Doc, you just opened up some doors. Give us some information on how folks can follow you or get in contact with you if they have some questions following this great show that you have laid out for us, and just stay in touch with you.
Yeah, well, probably the easiest way, because where I post all of my my informational videos is on Instagram, and it's just at Dr. Nikesa Remy. But yeah, I do try to post a lot of information on there because I do get questions from parents and from kids themselves. They'll often send me messages or DM me, and so I do try to post some information there just to help parents because young athletes are fantastic. I love treating them, but they need to be aware of what's going on with their bodies, how to prevent injury, how to recover from injury. And so, yeah, I try to post information for kids, but also for parents on things that they can do to help keep their athletes healthy.
And we appreciate everything that you put up there. Folks, don't ask me how to spell or say the first name again. You just look for Dr. Remy, R-E-M-Y, and hopefully that'll take you to the right page. If not, reach out to us here on the Parents Coach Parents Network page, and we can definitely make that connection for you. Hey, we thank you for joining us today, and know that the doors are open at any time. Anytime you want to bring back some extra knowledge or whatever you got to share with us coming from Canada, hey, you are our second best international guest. I got to stick with Baller Mom Canada because she's
yes,
helped us
yes.
Get us a voice up there as well, doing some great things up there as well. But, hey. The door is open anytime, Doc, anytime you want to come back and share some updates or some new information with us or whatever you have, or you just want to come on and refresh our folks with whatever you came up with because you keep getting the same conversation, same question. By all means, the door is open for you anytime. Thank you today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. This was awesome. I really enjoyed it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We enjoyed you. Thank you. Hey, and you have a great day. We know you got some things that you got to take care of later on in the day. So, folks, hey, doctor's gone. The doctor's out. The doctor's out. The door has been closed. So if you have any questions, reach out to us here on the Parents Coach Parents Network. We will get your questions to Dr. Remy. We will forward them to her. You can reach us on the Parents Coach Parents Network on Blog Talk Radio. Or you can check us out on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter at PCP Network. Anytime, anytime. Hey, Doc, you have anything you want to close us out with?
I think I should come back and talk about footwear. I think I could do a whole 45 minutes just on footwear.
Hey, just let me know when. Let me know when. Let me know when the time is available for you. We'll cut
do.
That gap in the schedule. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Have a great day.
You too. Take care.
Folks, hey, now this ain't going to conclusion of the show. I want to know what you learned. What did you learn? What did you learn? If you learned anything, because, hey, this is an important piece of what our children are doing. This is an important piece of what our children are doing. If we can talk about injury prevention and you got an athlete out there that knows what he or she needs to do to prevent injuries and you're helping them, you're assisting them, you're guiding them through this process. You know, she talked about the different types of stretching, the static stretching, so on and so forth. Come on now, this is some incredible stuff. Some of you know it. But you don't ensure that your children know it. I always tell every athlete I come in contact with, you should be stretching before, during, and after. Before, during, and after. And if you notice, the doc said when you're stretching before, you should actually break a sweat. Use those muscles that you're going to use in your contest, your competition. Your practice, whatever it is, use those muscles to break a sweat. You don't have to be sweating profusely where, you know, your whole shirt is just like soaking wet. No, that's not what we're saying. Well, now you about to dehydrate because all your bodily fluids then came out of your body. No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying that you break a sweat to the point where you can feel a little moisture on your shirt. You can feel a little perspiration running down your arm, running down your side there, coming from underneath your arm. You can feel that. And that is the key. Because now it means that, what? Those muscles are ready. They've been fired up, and they're ready to do what they have to do. I'm going to try 615 again and see if I know who this is. I believe this is Sports Bomb U here joining us on the Parents Coach and Parents Network. Hello, are you out there? I'm not sure exactly what's going on. Hope all is well. But that's area code 615. 615. Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Okay, well, maybe she's just in listening mode today, or she may be driving and can't pick up the phone. But, hey, all well, fine and dandy. I know she probably had a few updates or a few things that she wanted to share with us in reference to what's going on. There are some changes in the mix with the NCAA. There are some changes in the mix with the NCAA. I'm saying that, folks, because there's a review of what's going on with standardized testing and whether or not standardized testing is going to be part of the process. Where did that come from? Well, just to give you a little backstory on that, a few of the legends in college basketball challenged that years ago. When I say a few of the legends, the two that I can that comes to mind with me first and foremost is the legendary John Thompson and the legendary John Chaney. You probably heard those names before, respectively coaching that, used formerly coached at Georgetown University and Temple University. Now, those two great legends challenged, made it publicly known that they thought there was something wrong with the use of the standardized tests, the SAT and the ACT. There was a little bias going on there. And these tests weren't designed for all athletes. So that was challenged some years ago. This question has now surfaced again. Last year, the Knight Commission brought it to the table once again, and now they have pushed it forward off to the table of the NCAA to take a look at it, review it, and make a decision on what you're going to do. Well, hopefully I'll have some information or an update on it come next week when we do our show at 3 p.m. because I will be attending a call this week with some folks from the compliance side of the house and other folks that work directly with the NCAA. So I will be attending a call via a few friends of mine who hooked me up with that call, and I'm going to be on that call, and hopefully I'll be able to share some updates on the direction that the NCAA is going to go in reference to college recruiting, because it has been a little shuffle. It has been a little mix up of the cards because of the simple fact that the pandemic hit and that threw everybody off. No one was prepared for the pandemic. So changes that were made, alterations that was made, you know, different things that was modified just for the sole purpose of getting our kids in school. And then trying to say, well, they'll get an extra year of eligibility or, you know, this, that, whatever. Wasn't prepared for it. So I guess now things have subsided just a little bit. And now someone's taking a look at this picture again. And there probably has been some modifications made where they finally going to put some ruling down. But they still haven't ruled on NILs yet, have they? You haven't heard anything that came out that's going to say it's going to be across the board. What's the dealings with NILs? Parents, this is where I need your support. This is where I like to see you come to the, help me come to the table, help us come to the table as a voice for our children. And when I say our children, I say our children moving forward. I don't have any children currently in college playing sports. But I don't have no problem with helping you speak up and speak out. And we're talking about any child that's currently involved in recreational sports all the way through to college sports. They are the ones that need our voice to support their voice. Yes, we can put them up there and, you know, put them out front to speak up and speak out on their own. But what happens when, you know, they become blackballed? We've seen that happen before. When they lose their scholarship because all of a sudden the coach don't find somebody else because he did speak up or she did speak up on this particular issue. I don't have a game in the state. I don't have a stake in the game. Excuse me. I don't have a stake in the game. So I have no problem with being your voice. But I need you to reach out to me and let me know that we want to sound off. It's time for us to sound off, parents. There's some things that need to be said, need to be addressed, need to be brought to the attention of our elected officials. And it pushed up the food chain instead of stuff coming down. You know what happens when it starts rolling downhill. You know, you trying to get out the way. No, we need to move some stuff up the food chain and get the attention of the NCAA. Get the attention of our elected officials who's making the policies for our states, our respective states, who's making the policies for our departments of education within our respective states. Come on now. Don't get distracted and get caught up. If you decide that you want to sound off and you don't want to be the voice, hey, I have no problem with saying what I have to say. And I know there's several others that's out there that have no problem with addressing these issues, no longer have a stake in the game. But we got to know from you, parents, that that's what you want to do. There's a whole lot of topics that need to be brought about. There's a site on Facebook called Sports Family Network. Sports Family Network. Check that site up. There's some relevant topics that pop up on that site. This ain't the old gossip site. This is relevant information, stuff that impacts our children if our children are involved in sports. This ain't that old stuff that you may see on some of these other sites where you got a bunch of folks clowning and debating about whether or not so-and-so should get playing time or how to find a good program or doing stuff that's outside the lines of the recruiting process. No, this ain't that site. This ain't that site. Sports Parents Network, Sports Family Network, and the Parents Coaching Parents Network. It's all about providing information for you. And there's several other pages that's out there. Parents and Athletes Connection. There's other pages out there. Can We Talk Sports? There's several other pages out there. Sports Mom, Sports Dad, Sports Mom and Dad Network. You know, there's several other pages out there. Soccer Parents Lifestyle, Sports Parenting. There's several other pages that's out there. That's all about being the advocate for our children, all about being an advocate for our children. Folks, hey, our time once again has come and gone. It's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. Hey, if you got any questions or anything that you want to fly past us here on the Parents Coaching Parents Network, you can always find us on Facebook at Parents Coaching Parents Network, Instagram and Twitter at PCP Network. Anytime. Send us a message. Let us know. Hey, you want to join us on the show just to talk about some things or ask some questions or get some information out there. Once again, the door is always open to the next generation of parents. Folks, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. This is M.A. Scott, the host of the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Where you at, Keith? Take us out. Do this.
running of the game. Had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain. And if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end. And when the ball starts bouncing,